Okay, thank you. So my name's Nick Whiteleg. I am a lecturer at Solent University, which is in Southampton, which is basically the southern UK, basically the middle of the south coast facing France. So that's basically where I'm based. And I'm here, I'm a long-term OpenStreetMap contributor. I got involved in the very early days, 2005 really, when I first met Steve Coast. So I've been involved in OpenStreetMap for an awful long time now. But I'm here today to talk about my augmented reality project called HiCar. Okay, now I'm sure most of you know what augmented reality is these days. The most obvious example is probably Pokemon Go. But basically, it's the augmentation of the real world as seen typically through the camera feed of your device, such as your smartphone, your smart glasses, whatever you might be using, with computer-generated data. So that's what augmented reality is, the real world augmented with computer-generated data. Now, there are various variants. I'm not going to go into the variants in great detail because it's really off topic. Marker-based AR, markerless AR, but what HiCar uses is, it hasn't really got a very formal term, but I like to call it geographic AR. Now, geographic augmented reality is the use of the device's GPS location. In other words, its current location on Earth, measured, of course, in latitude and longitude, together with data from the sensors, so the accelerometer and the magnetic field sensor, to work out where on the Earth you are, what direction you're facing, whether you're facing north, south, east, or west, and what the tilt of the device is, and from that, work out what the window on the world is that your phone can currently see. And then what you can do with geographic AR is you can download data, such as OpenStreetMap data, and you can work out what portion of the real world is currently visible on the field of view, the viewport of your device. So HiCar uses geographic AR. It doesn't yet use computer vision-based techniques, but I am going to come back onto that later. So what is the state of geographic AR at the moment? Well, it's been around for a few years now. I think it was around 2010, 2011, that geographic AR first became popular, because that's when smartphones first really took off. So Android really took off quite a lot around that time. And there were quite a lot of early geographic AR apps. Wikitude, they're still going. They're based in Salzburg, I believe. But they produced essentially a point of interest browser where you could go to a city, you could view the city through your phone, through the camera of your phone, and then you could see these great big markers, these great big augmented reality markers telling you information about a point of interest. So if you're wandering around Heidelberg city centre, for example, and you wanted to know more about the church, let's say, you could point something like Wikitude at the church and it will give you information about it. So those sorts of AR apps have been around for an awful long time now, a good few years, since around 2010, 2011. However, the big problem with a lot of these AR apps is they are closed source and proprietary. Now, obviously, most of us are probably from an open source free software world, FOSS world, so but the big problem with a lot of AR, a lot of geographic AR, is that it's closed source and proprietary. There are a few exceptions. Show Me Hills, that's quite a nice app, which points out, it identifies peaks, that is GPL. But one little explored area of AR is for countryside navigation. So if you're out in the countryside and you want to use AR to help you work out where the path is and where it goes, or the direction to various nearby points of interest, then there hasn't been a great deal of work in this area to date, neither closed source nor open source. So this is precisely where HiCar, my project, aims to step in. So what is HiCar? Well, first of all, I think I'll move forward a slide just to give you a few screenshots. So these are screenshots of HiCar. Some of them are development snapshots, so it might not look exactly like this right now. But in the top left, that's somewhere in Northern Ireland, where I went this time last year, and it's pointing the user to the highest peak in Northern Ireland, Slieve Donard. It's telling you it's on the left. Bottom left is also on Slieve Donard. Top right, that shows you a new feature, which I'm going to talk about later, virtual notice boards. And bottom right, again, that shows you a new feature in 0.3, which is the ability to route in augmented reality to a nearby POI. So the left-hand side two have been present for about 9 months now. The right-hand side are new features. Right, so HiCar started quite a while ago. A version of it existed as a standalone app in 2013, and I presented that at State of the Map Birmingham. However, it was pretty limited in scope. It sort of worked. It wasn't on Google Play. You had to compile it from source, and it only worked in England and Wales. Occasional development in the intervening years. I've really started seriously developing it now for about the last 18 months. Primarily due to the increased interest in AR, Pokemon Go, and also AR Core and AR Kit, which are Google and Apple's AR libraries, respectively. So 0.2, the first version with virtual signposts, was released in March 2019, and 0.3 was literally out this Thursday in the last week. So 0.3 is literally just out. Right, quick words about the architecture of HiCar. So this is a fairly technical talk. I talk about in some detail about how it actually works. So the app HiCar is over there on the left. So it makes a request over to the HiCar API. So there is an API going on the HiCar server, and that serves OpenStreetMap data. So HiCar is OpenStreetMap based, pretty obviously. The HiCar API serves OpenStreetMap data in GeoJSON. So the HiCar API sends back GeoJSON data of OpenStreetMap data. And it's a tiled service. So it uses the standard XYZ tile format. It serves vector data, obviously, because it's GeoJSON, but nonetheless, it uses the standard XYZ tiling system. The HiCar API is backed by an OSM PostGIS database, and that's the same PostGIS database that Mapnik uses, so the one that you use OSM to PGSQL to populate. As well as that, obviously, an augmented reality app for hikers and outdoor users is going to need elevation data. It's not going to be much use in a hilly or mountainous area without elevation data. So I also grab elevation data from what are called terrarium tiles, and I'll come back to those in a minute. So that's the overall architecture. So data preparation, I download on an irregular basis about every 6 months from GeoFabric. Filter with osmosis to select the data I want, and then import into PostGIS with OSM to PGSQL. So a very standard OSM toolchain there to set up the database. Much of that I've already talked about, the elevation data. Now, one point of interest is that the data, once it's been downloaded, is cached on the device. And furthermore, you can download the data in advance from home. So if you are going somewhere where there's a very bad internet connection, you can pre-download the data onto your device, and then you can use HiCar without any internet. Right, so basically it uses a tiling system, as I've said. So when you're at a certain location, what happens is that it downloads your current XYZ tile, but also the 8 surrounding ones. So that allows you to wander around for some distance before it needs to download any more new data. So it's the current tile and the 8 surrounding ones, so 9 tiles in total. And then when you move into an adjacent tile, it will download the next 9. And when I say download, I also mean load from file as well. So if you've pre-downloaded the data, this system of downloading the 9 surrounding tiles still works from file. Okay, so where will HiCar work? Now, it is important to note that it isn't global yet. There's no technical reason why that's the case. It's just due to my hosting. It's available in the whole of Europe. So wherever you go in Europe, HiCart will work. I've tested it in the field in three countries now, UK obviously, Germany and Greece. But it should work in the whole of Europe. Now, if someone is from somewhere outside of Europe, and particularly if you're in a relatively small country, I am quite happy to add other small or sparsely populated countries on an ad hoc basis. So if it's, say, somewhere like Nepal or somewhere like that, that's fine. If it's somewhere like the USA, then my server can't handle the whole of the USA at the moment. But if it's just something like the Yosemite National Park, then I'd be quite happy to do that. Okay, so many thanks to Hetzner, a number of OSM contributors, alerted me to Hetzner earlier in the year. They do produce very good, good value hosting, so it's thanks to them that I can now host the whole of Europe. Okay, HiCart Web API, I've talked about that, it's a GeoJSON-based web API. It is available on my GitLab, so my GitLab is gitlab.com/nickw1, so all my projects are hosted there. If you're interested in the HiCart Web API, it's PHP-based, it serves GeoJSON, and it's called Freemap API, because I originally developed it for another project of mine called Freemap. And just a quick heads up, I am giving a lightning talk tomorrow in the 2:30 session on my other project, Open Trail View, which is basically a street view for walkers, but I won't dwell on that right now. Right, so I talked about terrain. Where do I get that from? That was another of the key features that made HiCart 0.2 upwards possible. That's from the MapZen terrain tiles. So that's available as an Amazon web service, and it is available with no usage limits or charges. So again, I was alerted to that by a former MapZen employee, and that's where I get my height data from. And again, that's provided as XYZ tiles. Right, on to then to a new feature. I do want to try and go through the new features, virtual signposts. So this is actually a screenshot from the campus here in Heidelberg. So if you want to try HiCart, you can test it on the campus. So that's an example of a virtual signpost, literally more or less outside the chemistry building. So how are these generated? Well, basically, first a quick thanks to my colleague Neil Brewis for generating the models. I'm not a 3D modeler, so that was generated by a colleague. How do they work? Well, first of all, what happens is the OSM data downloaded from the API is basically made a graph. So basically, I create a graph, a routing graph, in other words, a graph with nodes and edges from the OSM data. And for maintainability reasons, in other words, avoiding having to maintain a separate graph, I actually do that on the fly. So the graphs are generated on the fly. You might be thinking that's slow. Well, in my use case, in the HiCart use case, which is primarily for countryside navigation, it's pretty fast. It's literally, if I'm out in a typical countryside area, the graph will be generated in a couple of seconds. So the graph is generated on the fly, which saves creating other static graphs, which is good. So what I do is basically every junction becomes a node in the graph. So I analyze the OSM data for junctions, and each junction becomes a node, and then I create my nodes and edges with nodes at the junctions. However, the weights on the edges, for those of you who have done some work on graphs, the weights are the distances, but the weights are not the straight line distance from node to node. They are actually the distance of the full OSM way, counting all the OSM nodes. So the weights are the full real distance of the way, just to make that clear. So next thing is junction detection. How do we do that? So basically, a signpost is generated whenever the user is near a junction. So I've said already that each node in the graph is a junction. So what HiCar does is it looks at the graph, it works out whether there's a node near you, a graph node near you. If there is a graph node near you, then you are at a junction. And if you're at a junction, what HiCar then does is it calculates the bearings of each route along the junction, and it calculates basically the bearings to the first point on the OSM way to get the accurate bearing. And then we route to each POI. So we find all POIs of interest within a 5 kilometer radius, or 3 kilometer for certain less interesting POIs, such as place equals locality, for example, in OpenStreetMap. And then for each POI, we use Dijkstra's algorithm and the graph that we've already generated to calculate a route. And then what we basically do is we marry up the route of each to each POI with each bearing on the junction to assign each POI to an arm. Okay, thanks. Okay, so basically, route to POI, work out the bearing to each POI, compare the bearing to each arm, and then allocate destinations to each arm on the signpost. Right, so HiCar will calculate, will basically add up to 2 destinations to each arm, and we need to prioritize POIs because we only want to show 2 destinations, and we want to show the 2 destinations most of interest. So priorities are calculated by a weighted distance, which is basically distance to the POI multiplied by that POI's weight. And here are some weights. So you can see lower weights mean more priority. Cities and towns are the most important, followed by villages, peaks and railway stations, hamlets and suburbs, pubs and cafes and localities. And I've actually refined those throughout the 0.2 series of HiCar. So these are actually refined. And for me personally, they work nicely, but obviously they can be refined further by doing a full study with potential participants. Okay, exact routing I think I'll need to skip through. Signpost rendering, they're rendered in OpenGL. I've got OBJ object files, as I said, created by a colleague. They're supported by a range of European characters supported. So Western European characters are supported, including all the various accents. Greek is supported and Cyrillic is supported. So if you live in a country which uses one of those 3 character sets, it should work. AR notice, so I'm going to finish with some new features of 0.3, AR notice boards. So this is a real notice, this is a notice board in Southampton. The lake you might be able to just about see has got a problem with group blue-green algae at the moment, basically because this summer has been very warm and wet in England, so we've had a problem with blue-green algae. So that is a real notice board with a real hazard, 80 metres ahead. These notice boards are actually crowdsourced. So the idea is that you, as a contributor, will add notice boards to point out either hazards or places of interest, such as historical sites, hazards such as, steep paths, rock falls, mad cows, whatever you might want to add. So you can add hazards yourself at the website, HiCar.org. So HiCar has got a website, HiCar.org. You do need an account to stop people vandalizing the site, to stop people putting vandalism notice boards, pretty obviously. AR routing is the other new feature. That's a screenshot, so there's a yellow overlay, so you can route to a particular POI. Brockenhurst is a town in the New Forest near where I live, so there's your route. So that's new for 0.3. And data download zoom levels. So the default zoom level is optimized for rural areas, but with the 0.3, there is an urban zoom level as well. If you want to test this out in Heidelberg, I would strongly recommend using the urban zoom level because the default zoom level will be rather too slow. So the different zoom levels download different amounts of data. The 9 tiles will contain 18 square kilometers in the lightly populated Zoom level, but in the large urban Zoom level, only 2.25 square kilometers. Few issues to do with accuracy of the placement. You probably saw those in the screenshots. So you probably saw that maybe the bearing of the path was a little bit off from the real path, or the path appeared to float. This is, well, the number of causes: inaccuracy in the GPS, inaccuracy in the sensors, and possibly inaccuracy in the OSM data as well. So it's not pixel perfect, it's not pixel perfect AR. It's good enough for navigation, but obviously there is room for improvement there. It's also what I call research wear. It is on Google Play, but it doesn't have a slick and polished UI. Nonetheless, it is usable. Battery life, a problem for this sort of thing generally. Future plans is really linking in really with some of the talks this morning. Really, I'm aiming to try and explore machine learning and computer vision to try and improve things somewhat. So an easier place, an easier line of investigation there will be to try and detect corners where, say, two tracks intersect and place a signpost on the corner using computer vision so that it's fixed there and will not move even if the sensors are playing around a bit. And I've got a few other areas of interest there which I'm also trying to look at, maybe peak detection, then the eventual holy grail will be to try and detect things like trees, but I'm not sure whether that's actually possible right now. Okay, so where? Well, as I said, 0.3 is available on Google Play. Just search for HiCar. It's available to download. Source code, it's completely free and open source, this project. So it's on GitLab, gitlab.com/nickw1/HiCar. So if you do want to contribute to the actual source code there, then obviously I do welcome contributors. I'm particularly interested in input from machine learning and computer vision experts. And if someone fancies a challenge, conversion to iOS. If you want to contribute notice boards, again, sign up at hicar.org. Right, I do believe that is it. So contact details there, email, GitLab site again. I am on Twitter. I'm not an avid Twitter user, but I do occasionally use it to announce things together with criticize the British government, but I won't go into that. But basically, if there's a key update, I will announce it on Twitter, otherwise email and GitLab. I am around today, rest of today and tomorrow. I'm not here on Monday. I've got to get back to work, but I am around today and tomorrow. So if you do want to ask me any questions you've got no time for, we've got no time for now, feel free to do so.
And we do have time for some questions.
Hi.
You hear me?
It's a bit quiet.
I'm just wondering, I didn't get when you used the terrain tiles that you...
Yes.
You talk about terrain tiles, but I didn't get where you used it.
Okay. The terrarium tiles, yes, sorry. That I download them for elevation. So basically, they're available as ping images, and then I grab the elevation, and then I apply the elevation from the terrarium tiles to the OpenStreetMap ways, so that the OpenStreetMap ways are in 3D. So if you're climbing a mountain, then the augmented reality way will appear in 3D and will appear to go up the mountain. So yeah, maybe I rushed over that a bit, but yeah, the elevation data is applied to the OpenStreetMap vector data so that each point on the way, each node, has a Z coordinate, which is then used for rendering.
Hi, Yes. For your virtual pointers.
Yeah.
Have you considered using not only the type of the point but also the distance in deciding which one to show? So if you have a hamlet right in front of you and a city in 5 kilometers.
Yes. I mean, I actually do that because when I decide what points of interest to show on the signposts, I multiply. I basically get a weighted distance, so it's weight times distance. So yes, I do. Obviously, there's a hamlet just in front of you. Then obviously, the hamlet will show. Yes. So the weighting essentially uses weighted distance, the weight that I showed you multiplied by the distance to the POI. Yes. Now. Sort of. I mean, basically, it's using OSM tagging. Now, I actually use, I've actually sort of gamed the system myself a bit by tagging a couple of peaks which aren't really of interest to tourists with peak equals minor. Now, if a peak, if a natural equals peak is also tagged with peak equals minor, then it will have a lower priority. And that happens because I was testing it in the field, and there are a couple of sort of hills near where I live which can't even be accessed by the public. They're on private land. They've got no tourist interest of any note. They were being prioritized over nearby villages, so I decided to. So, yeah, basically, yeah, certain... that could be done by sort of custom OSM tagging. So if there was some way of trying to prioritize different villages, you know, it could be tourism equals important, I don't know, but it would be interesting to gather input from you guys, really, to, you know, from anyone, really, who might potentially use HiCar to try and invent new tags which can be used to prioritize those that are going to be most of interest to tourists or other users.
Okay, let's thank our speaker again.